That's Scissor there and Saturn. It is 23 minutes to 10. You're listening to The Breakfast Show here on WRS. Margot Cray joins me on the line for our UN Roundup. Good morning, Margot.
Good morning, Kat.
Let's take an update, first of all, from the World Health Organization. We're looking at avian influenza or bird flu.
That's right. So on Friday at the UN press briefing in Geneva, the World Health Organization provided a global update on avian influenza, H5N1, or colloquially known as bird flu, and where they stated that the virus has been detected in dairy cows and goats in the United States. So since March this year, infections in 29 herds in 8 different states have been reported. And in April, so just very recently, there was a confirmed case of the virus reported in Texas, the first case of a human infected by avian influenza through a cow. So this has showed a further step of the virus spillover into to mammals. So WHO are working closely with the Food and Agricultural Organization and the World Organization for Animal Health on updating a joint risk assessment for avian influenza, which it's going to publish in the coming days. So since 2003, close to 900 human cases of avian influenza have been reported. So these are usually transmitted through birds. So it's quite rare, and it's linked to close environments with infected animals. So during this time, WHO have called on all countries to remain vigilant, to report human infections, and to reinforce biosecurity measures on animal farms.
Let's move over now to talk about maternal healthcare services, and specifically in Gaza.
Yes. So the United Nations Population Fund, or UNFPA, has just returned from a 10-day mission in Gaza. This ended last week, and they visited 10 hospitals there. Following the visit, UNFPA reported that they were very concerned about the healthcare system overall, particularly for pregnant women who could only go to give birth at 3 of the 10 partially functioning hospitals. So Dominic Allen from the UNFPA has provided an update of the situation on the ground.
I am terrified for the 1 million women and girls in Gaza right now, and especially for the 180 women giving birth every single day and giving birth in inhumane, unimaginable conditions. Also, we visited the Nasser Hospital complex, the second most important hospital across the Gaza Strip. And having known and visited Nasser Hospital many times before October last year, but also having visited it recently, what I saw breaks my heart. Again, it's indescribable. What we see there is medical equipment purposefully broken, ultrasounds with cables that have been cut, screens of complex medical equipment like ultrasounds and others with the screens smashed. So purposeful, wanton destruction in the maternity ward.
It's incredibly bleak, the picture that that he paints there. Dominic Allen from the United Nations Population Fund.
Yeah, that's right. It is a really, really sad and devastating scenes. So during the visit, UNFPA delivered life-saving oxytocin to the Emirati Hospital, which is a major lifeline for women in Gaza at the moment. It's currently supporting 50 or 60 births a day. And they also delivered a 40-foot mobile maternity unit, which the International Medical Corps UK will operate as part of its maternity work. And they delivered dignity kits. They were also engaging with the community, including with youth, to help them support their own communities, particularly from a stance of mental health. And at the briefing, UNFPA reiterated that there needed to be a massive influx of aid and assistance delivered safely to people in Gaza, and an immediate humanitarian ceasefire really is the only solution.
Let's move on. Look at our last topic today. We're looking at the State of the Climate Report.
That's right. So today on Earth Day, the World Meteorological Organization, WMO, will release their 2023 European State of the Climate Report. And this is done in partnership with the Copernicus Climate Change Service, a little bit of a tongue twister. And it analyzes climate trends throughout the year across Europe. So I'll just give you a little snapshot from the report. So I think it comes to no surprise to anyone. We've been mentioning it a lot, but it is confirmed that 2023 was the joint warmest or the second warmest year on record. It depends which data sets that you're looking at. And temperatures in Europe were above average for 11 months of the year last year. So this includes the warmest September ever on record. And unsurprisingly, there were also a below average number of days of snow in Europe. So particularly across Central Europe and the Alps during winter and spring. And this, coupled with the high temperatures we saw during summer, contributed to a lot of glacier loss in all parts of Europe. And I think all of us in Geneva will have probably seen the most drastic example of this is in the Alps, which saw glaciers lose around 10% of their remaining volume over 2022 and 2023, which is really quite devastating. And we've also seen adverse health impacts related to extreme weather and climate events rising. So heat-related mortality has increased by around 30% in the past 20 years. And heat-related deaths have actually increased in 94% in European regions being monitored. So the full report is being released today and it will be available on the WMO website for anyone who wants further detail.
Okay, I just want to clarify that statistic that it's the heat-related deaths are estimated to have increased by 94% or in 94% of the European regions?
It's in 94%. So not as concerning from the outset, but I think still pretty worrisome nonetheless.
It is. It shows how widespread that is. Okay, Margot Cray, thank you so much for your UN roundup this time. We'll catch you in a couple of weeks' time now.
Thanks, Kat. Speak to you soon.